Welcome to Healing Ties, a show that encourages you to live happy and healthy. By focusing on the emotional, physical, spiritual, and financial aspects of life, we tie four important components together, like a bow tie. And who isn't happy when they're wearing a bow tie? This not only creates a healthy life for each one of us, but will also create healthy communities. And now, here's your host, Chris McClellan, the bow tie guy.
Well, greetings, everyone. It is Chris McClellan, the Bowtie Guy, for another episode of Healing Ties. And I'm excited about all my guests. I'm particularly excited about my guest today because of the topic that we're going to be chatting about. In servant leadership, I had the opportunity to study servant leadership this past year while I was completing my master's degree in leadership and communication at Gonzaga University. And I learned, what is this concept about servant leadership? You know, I understand what a servant is, I understand leadership, but how do those two components match? Well, you know, servant leadership is a philosophy and set of practices that enriches lives of individuals, builds better organizations, and ultimately creates a more just and caring world. You know, that certainly connects with my philosophy, especially my theological background. But how does servant leadership, how does that work in business? I can connect servant leaderships to caregiving and caregivers. We're going to get into that today. But this concept of servant leadership, just imagine if everybody was using this philosophy. And my guest today, Allison Elko Lazicki from Top Notch Teams, we're going to have that conversation on how we can create servant leaders within ourselves and within our community. And Allison, it's great to have you on the show today.
Well, thank you. It's a great opportunity to be here.
Well, you know, we've had numerous recent conversations offline, and now we're now we're recording one today, which I'm like I mentioned earlier, I'm real excited about. It's been great to get to know you and kind of share our thoughts on servant leadership. And you've got some just really practical ways that help describe what servant leadership is. But first of all, tell our audience, tell our listeners a little bit about you and your passion as it relates to servant leadership.
Sure. So I worked for many years in healthcare. I worked in subacute rehab. I worked in assisted living and in home care. And I think that setting in and of itself truly needs leaders who are servant leaders. So, you know, I decided to kind of switch my career and start Top Notch Teams so that I could do leadership training and talk about the importance of not only being a leader, but being a true servant to the people who you serve. You know, really, really joining the journey with them and helping them grow and develop and really setting a stage for great relationships in healthcare settings. And I think that's something that is sort of taken for granted. People assume that when they meet the leaders of an assisted living or a subacute rehab, that perhaps they are servant leaders. But if somebody doesn't really explain to you what it means, you know, I don't think people think of leadership in this way.
Oh, it's really, even though the concept of servant leadership was developed in the 1970s by Robert Greenleaf, it's still a relatively new concept. And people, when I bring it up, I kind of get people look at me like with their eyes crossed.
Tilted to the side.
What are you talking about? But when you think about it, though, when you putting yourself second is really one of the major components of servant leadership.
Right. Absolutely. I always, at my desk, I always have this quote right above it, and it says, "The first responsibility of a leader is to define reality. The last is to say thank you, and in between is to be a servant." And I think that's, if everybody could keep that philosophy, and whether you're working with caregivers, it doesn't matter, you know, or you're taking care of somebody, that's an awesome way to look at your responsibilities.
Oh, very much so. And I think you have one of the best examples of servant leadership with your analogy of an Oreo cookie. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Sure. So besides servant leadership, the other thing I'm passionate about is Oreo cookies. They are my favorite. I try not to buy them because I could just go through all of them. But
do we share there?
Yet another commonality. So to me, servant leadership is truly like an Oreo cookie. So when you eat an Oreo cookie, the first thing you do is you pull the top of the cookie off. And I always say, when I eat Oreo cookies, when my kids were small, I'd always say, I have to eat this because I can't waste it. It's not the part of the Oreo that I like the most, but I have to eat it. So the top piece of that Oreo cookie is setting expectations with your team. In my book, we don't just assume everybody knows what's expected of them. So a good servant leader will start by saying to their team, here's what you can expect of me, and let them know all the things you're going to do for them and what they can expect of you. And then the second part of that expectation piece is, now here's what I expect of you. And they're not, I mean, they're a little broader. You know, they might be things like, be honest and don't get caught up in gossip when you're working. Professional, you know, always be professional in conduct and appearance. Work a full day every day. They're broader things, but you're really letting them know what your expectations are. So to me, that's the top of the cookie. The bottom of the cookie is at the end, when all is said and done, you're going to say thank you. I call it my attitude of gratitude. So I acknowledge what they've done, how great they've done, and really give them kudos. But it's that middle piece of the Oreo cookie, that beautiful cream that I love so much. So to me, that's the best part of being a servant leader. That in-between piece is where you're saying to them, I'm going to join the journey with you. I'm going to help you be successful. And I really, really want to grow and develop you to also become a servant leader. So to me, that's the best part of the Oreo cookie, that middle piece where you're really partnering with them and kind of showing them how to be a leader themselves.
And what I'm hearing you say here, especially as it relates to the delicious center of the cookie, mm-hmm. Servant leaders really lead with others in mind.
Absolutely.
They step outside of themselves, and it's an interesting concept in the sense that we know if you're a CEO of a company, you've got to look at the bigger picture. You have to, you've got finances, you've got staff. There's many things that you have to look at, but when you look at those things through the lens of servant leaders, and you look at those your business concept or business day with others in mind, it really mm-hmm. empowers people to be a part of the team.
Right. And those leaders that kind of see the bigger picture, that's their opportunity with the people they serve to say things that'll get them excited, right? Get them sort of committed to the vision and the mission of the team. Mm-hmm. So to say to them, it's not just us, it's the whole organization, and you're such an important part of that. So let me sort of align myself with you and show you like what we can do if we work together.
So if I'm valuing another worker or anybody's opinion, mm-hmm. and I'm empowering people to share their opinions mm-hmm. without fear, without favor, I mean, goodness, just think of the healthy environment that one right. creates through servant leadership.
Right. Absolutely. And how much you as a leader learned from those people who are sort of in the trenches every day doing the work and, giving their all. I mean, I as a leader learned so much from people like that.
I'm thinking back to a time way long, long time ago when I was moonlighting at a at a rental car company, and I ended up taking a position as a training manager not too long after moonlighting. And I remember one of the executives who never had been on the front line of a rental car company, and mm-hmm. how they were chastising the rental agents. Well, I just kind of mentioned to the person who had never stood in front of a customer, I said, you know, the people that you're badgering or that you're talking about are the people who are bringing the money into the company. Those are the face of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Not the people who are sitting behind the desk running the numbers. And when we can flip that concept and value other people's experiences, that's really the mark of a servant leader.
Right. I always think of Stephen Covey always says, like in his 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, you know, you want to seek first to understand, not be understood.
Yes.
And sometimes those big leaders want to be understood. They want, you know, everyone to understand what they think. But I think to first understand what the people you serve think, you'll learn so much. You'll learn so much.
Well, and you really, for a leader to, and I use this word, maybe it's not the correct word, from a leader to flip to servant leadership, they really have to be confident, not mm-hmm. only in their own abilities, but to understand that they're not losing power, losing leadership qualities. They're becoming more part of the broader team.
Absolutely, because you're sort of checking your ego at the door, right?
Very much so.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it cultivates a culture of trust. And goodness, just think if look at healthy organizations, a lot of that will center around the trust from management to staff.
Absolutely.
Oh, goodness. There's so many ways we could talk about. There's so many things we could talk about as it relates to servant leadership. Oh, and some current
all
some,
day long. You're challenging me.
Yeah, and there's a lot of current events going on too that we could.
Right. We could. Absolutely.
But you also have another terrific analogy about servant leadership, and it, you know, and I relate it to caregivers. When we talk about, are you a conductor? Are you a dancer? Can you elaborate a little bit about that on your philosophy?
Sure, absolutely. So this fits in that white cream part where you're really joining the journey with them. Mm-hmm. So when I talk about joining the journey, I always say to people, so are you the maestro of an orchestra with a baton, or are you a lead in a partnership of dancing? And to me, you need to be the lead in the dancing and not the orchestra maestro, because orchestra maestro stands in front of people with their baton and doesn't talk, just directs and tells them what to do, and the people playing the instruments do what they're told to do. And in the end, it sounds beautiful. But leading a dance is really, really what servant leadership is about. Because when you're the lead in a dance partnership, you're holding hands with this person and you're leading and gliding them to do the dance. So you're connected with them the whole way through. So you've never let go of them. You're directing them, and you too are doing this dance with them. So your success is their success and their success is your success. So it truly is a partnership, as opposed to the maestro with the baton leading and just telling people what to do.
But one of the beautiful aspects of your analogy here, I'm kind of getting a little emotional because I think of this in the relation to family caregivers, mm-hmm. and the importance of creating healthy teams. We don't, you know, caregivers don't often think about why it's important to create a team. And mm-hmm. one of the main reasons is not only does creating the team help you, the caregiver, but it also helps the person that you're caring for.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And when we become a conductor as a caregiver instead of a leader, the analogy just fits twofold.
Right, right. Exactly, exactly. So when you think of, you know, Dancing with the Stars, we'll use that as our dance analogy, right? These are people who have never known each other before that come together. You know, one's a famous dancer, one's just a person who's, you know, maybe an entertainer, but doesn't have that dance background. So if somebody were to teach them to dance by standing in front of them and telling them what to do, right? Like, right, it would be great, but it probably wouldn't work. But because they're holding on to each other and they're doing it together, it works. And you find people who had no dance experience on that show doing fantastic, fantastic performances because they are holding on to the other person.
Oh, goodness. I'm kind of getting a little chills thinking about this because I think of the analogy you just used is beautiful, because think of caregivers who are just kind of thrown into a role without any preparation, without any plans, and you just kind of grasp on to the system, hoping that the system will lead you.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes the system doesn't. It's not like, you know, that the system can work as a conductor.
Right, right, absolutely. And you know, those caregivers talk about the ultimate joining the journey, right? So everybody who is part of your team that's going to help you through this, it truly is a journey. And it's not a journey that we have no predictable outcome when you start. So that team that you're putting together is so important, and that you all kind of grab hands and work together. I definitely believe that. There's a big, big analogy between that and caregiving, the dancing and caregiving.
Yeah, and it comes back, you know, servant leaders give up power and deputize others to lead. And caregivers, when they can create a care team that is centered around everybody's individual talents and empower those folks to use those talents for the care of another person, who benefits the most from it? Everybody.
Right, right, right. And, you know, true leaders, they develop each other, right? So they develop their team, they develop each other. And when you're part of a care team taking care of someone, don't you find you learn so much from other people?
Oh, goodness. Very much so.
Yeah.
Everybody brings... I like to tell some of my clients that everybody brings a special talent to the team, and it's important not only for those talents to be unveiled, it's also important for us to kind of learn something from those talents, because everybody is a unique individual.
Right, right. And I also... I had a thought that just popped into my head too. I was visualizing the dance thing, and I'm thinking, is when you're dancing with somebody and you're going to do a lift, is that the most, I mean, you are putting every bit of trust in that person.
Yeah.
And they're lifting you up to dance, right? To do some sort of a lift, right? There's really an environment of trust there. And that's so true of a caregiving team, right? There has to be a truly developed environment of trust amongst those people, that I trust you and you trust me, that we're all on the same page. And sometimes if you see somebody on the team that might not be on the same page, maybe they're not part of that team, but you have to have a true environment of trust.
Right. And I think when you create that true environment of trust, then it's easier to have those difficult conversations. It's easier to speak honestly and openly, especially if somebody is not a fit for the team. We can't live in a Pollyanna world and think that we're all going to get along with everybody, or that we that we're that philosophies are going to mesh. But when it's when these conversations take place under the auspices of servant leadership, everybody's on a level playing field.
Right. I think I've shared this with you. I love Tony Dungy, who used to be the coach of the Colts.
Yes.
And one of his things that he talks about is that when he goes to the draft to choose his team, he goes in with a DNDC list. And that DNDC list means do not draft due to character. So if he feels that the character of that person isn't right for the team, it's going to affect the outcome of the team. And it's okay. It's okay not to draft that person. You know, it's not that you don't like that person, but just not a good fit for that team.
The sports analogy is terrific because I think a lot of sports teams, and I follow, my favorite sport team is the St. Louis Blues. I've been following them for 50 years, mm-hmm. even though if I'm just 51, but you know, it's
not. You started but, very early.
Understand. So, you know, when you think about different moves teams make because they're so focused on winning mm-hmm. is everything. Well, winning isn't always based on the best talent. There's tons and tons of histories in sports that teams with the most talent never won. It's those because those managers who put teams together based on a talent alone, they're nearsighted.
Right, absolutely. And I think Tony Dungy is such a great example of that because, you know, he talks about leaders getting people unstuck simply by energizing them, right? So the people who are stuck, you just energize them, show them the potential they have to help the team,
mm-hmm.
right? And let them know what they're capable of doing. I mean, those are his three bullet points that he talks about that I love because that's exactly what you're doing when you're putting together a care team. You know, you're kind of getting them unstuck past the emotion a little bit to, like, let's do this as a team and make this a great experience, all of us together. And, you know, and here's the potential you have. Here's what you're capable of bringing to this team and empowering them.
Oh, I just love that word, empower, because we all have that ability to mm-hmm. empower others and... In retrospect, we all need to be empowered.
Absolutely. And I know I've shared with you, you know, the once I shared with you a story about sometimes people on the team will say, I can't do this. And so we always talk about the power of yet. So when somebody says that, say to them, you know, take a breath and add yet to the end of the sentence. So you can't do this yet. But when we all come together as a team, we empower each other that we all can do it together.
The power of yet.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Because we all it all happens in our own space and in our own time.
Right. And as a manager, from a work perspective, it's the same thing when someone mm-hmm. says to you, oh, this doesn't work, you know, because they're frustrated and you understand mm-hmm. that. And you mm-hmm. say to them, okay, take a deep breath. And add yet to the end. So this doesn't work yet. What do we need to tweak? And what do we need to work on together to make this work? And it's the same thing with a care team.
Very much so. So yeah. I'm going to shift gears, and I'm going to ask you a question that I think you can do this off the top of your head. In fact, okay. I kind of know you can. So
okay.
even though I haven't prepped you for this question, even
it's not like listing all the presidents or
like, oh no them, no well, oh. you know the at least you could start from the current one and work down that would be easy. But,
there we go.
But you're walking into a business that. Mm-hmm. You might have a little bit of an idea of the business practice itself,
mm-hmm.
but the manager that you're talking to has no clear idea what the meaning of servant leadership is.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to a What would you say in an appointment like that with somebody who has no that you know that they need your help, but they just can't grasp the concept of servant leadership?
Gotcha. So it would be pretty easy for me, because what I would say to them is, I'm going to join the journey with you to make you have a great team. So I'm going to join the journey with you, and you're going to do that same thing with your team. So I'm going to work with you. I'm going to help you set those expectations. I'm going to help you from everything from accountability and teaching people how to be accountable. I'm going to teach you how to be accountable for this team. And I'm going to teach you how to connect with the team, and you how to empower and collaborate. And then, you know, teach you how to show gratitude to them, and you in turn are going to show them that exact same thing. Because I'm going to develop you as a leader, and you in turn are going to develop them as a leader.
Oh, goodness. Accountability and gratitude in the same sentence.
Can you imagine that?
Oh, my gosh. That's just off the charts.
I know. I know we can do it. I know we can do it.
I need a little bit of that in my, you know, working for yourself, as you well know.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's, you know, it's easy to say, well, you know, I could just turn the alarm off for 15 more minutes. I could turn over one more. I could sleep another 10 or 15 minutes. But you have to be accountable.
So do you know what my accountability for myself is in the morning? You're going to laugh when I tell you this. So I get up, I go to Starbucks, I buy a cup of coffee, and when I walk into my house, I think that I'm walking into my office. When I walk back in my house with my coffee, and that's how I hold myself accountable. So I go get my coffee, drive back home, walk in my house, and I just pretend like I'm walking into an office, and that's how I start my day. That's how I hold myself accountable.
That.
Because if I don't, then I will be like, well, let me just throw in a load of laundry, or let me do. So that's how I do it. I go out, get my coffee, and that's how I start my day.
I love that. Well, that I might have to put that one into my practice myself. So goodness. Well, also we just got a couple of minutes left. Why don't you tell our listeners? Well, you can tell our listeners what Starbucks they can find you at the morning, but more importantly,
Starbucks, they know my order.
But more importantly, how can people get in contact with you?
Sure. So my company name is Top Notch Teams. So you can find me through my website, and on my website it's top T-O-P and then a hyphen. And then the word notch. So Top Notch is hyphenated. I'm also on Facebook and just starting to get into the world of Twitter and Instagram. And then they can find my website just through www.topnotchteams.com. I do leadership and customer service training for any company whatsoever that needs that. And they can reach me. I actually can give a number that you can call, which would be 908-531-3343, and you will be connected with me.
That's 908-531-3343.
That's it.
Well, Allison, it's great catching up with you today, and I appreciate you getting me thinking about Oreo cookies in a different way.
And this has been fun for me because I rarely find somebody who's as passionate about it as I am. So it's
I just know that you and I are going to connect and do some things together. It's going to be wonderful.
Very good, Chris. You have a great day.
Allison, it's great to have you on the show. You know, not only are you creating top-notch teams, you're creating healing ties all around us. Continue good luck, and thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Chris. You have a great day.
Okay. You know, servant leadership is a philosophy and a set of practices that enriches the lives of individuals, builds better organizations, and ultimately creates a more and just caring world. I think we all need a little bit of servant leadership in us. Well, that does it for this episode of Healing Ties. You know, I'm Chris McClellan, the Bowtie Guy. I'm creating a life to love after caregiving ends through writing, radio, travel, advocacy, and being with awesome people like Allison. Healing Ties is a part of the Whole Care Network. We'll see you real soon for another episode of Healing Ties. Bye-bye.